Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Connell McShane is the anchor from News Nation that we watch starting at 2 o'clock here in Chicago. Hi, Connell. Welcome back to the show.
Always good to talk to you, John.
By the way, our news click, Connell, was, should men on these hot days be allowed to wear shorts at work? How will you vote on that?
I think so. I would vote in the positive. As a matter of fact, I think Trump and Putin should show up in a pair of shorts today, get together in Alaska.
Kind of break through all the pretense, maybe put on golf shorts and stroll around. Sometimes TV news anchors, you guys are almost always, when I see you on TV, you're standing there. So we see your whole wardrobe.
Correct.
But plenty of local news anchors live behind the desk, and sometimes they have shorts and sneakers on, right?
Yep. During COVID, I didn't wear pants at all because we had a home studio. So all you had to do was wear a shirt and a tie and a jacket. But pants were optional, not necessary.
Amend that, though. You weren't wearing long pants.
Well, I'm just saying they weren't necessary, John. That's all. That's all I'm going to say about that.
It's 10:49 now. let's get serious. So where are we on the timeline today? What's the TikTok right now?
So the TikTok, well, the whole thing with Trump and Putin is supposed to get going right when we come on the air, 3 Eastern, 2 Central, should be when Putin is landing there, I would say, Trump a little bit before that, if Air Force One stays on schedule. And then they'll get together for their meeting at the bottom of that hour, so 2:30 your time, 3:30 our time. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see how long they stay together for. I mean, I think it's always... When these things happen, the last couple of times, the first meeting between these two that was a summit was in Trump's first term in Helsinki, which turned out to be really one of the low points of the Trump presidency. But they did have a joint news conference after that. I think they met for about 2 hours. I covered the most recent meeting in Geneva between an American president and Putin. Of course, it was President Biden. They met for 3+ hours and then held separate news conferences. That was so staged and controlled. It'll be interesting to see how this one is put together. Is it a mix of the two? Did the Trump administration take anything away from Helsinki and that freewheeling news conference afterwards that they want to avoid this time, or do they set it up the same way? I mean, I guess we'll see. Sometimes these things change on the fly. Like Trump went in there saying, yeah, I'll talk to the press afterwards, but if it doesn't go well, maybe we won't have a joint news conference. So that'll be one of the interesting things, but it all should get going this afternoon, our time.
How much of this has been laid out in advance? Have teams been meeting and working on bullet points, things that they are going to specifically try to resolve?
Well, I mean, I think the short answer is usually yes for those things. I think that's definitely true. What the Biden summit that I covered, and not a lot came out of that of substance afterwards, which has really been par for the course in recent get-togethers, that you have these high stakes, everyone says, but at the end of the day, low expectations and not much in terms of what the diplomatic types call deliverables. But I think with Trump, it's a different situation because, as he did in Helsinki, and I think he'll do it today, he likes to get in the room one-on-one, literally, for the most part, with the exception of the translators. So there's risk associated with that, obvious risk. But it does take away some of that. And because maybe the risk is even heightened because it takes away some of what you're saying, how this could all be laid out in advance. If he's in the room and he's just the two of them and the translators, you don't know exactly how it's going to go. There's some unpredictability associated with it.
I forgot about the translators. Putin speaks some English, does he not?
I think he understands it, from what I understand. Whether he's comfortable speaking it, I don't know.
Right.
I think he does speak some, but I think he would know what you're saying if you, especially if you said something bad about him, you know, in the meeting. So.
Well, but I think all of this questioning I'm having is, I think this could almost be done via Zoom, except that it's important that these guys are, face to face, managing each other. All interviews, all conversations are better if you're in the room with the person. It's more interpersonal. So I understand the value of that. And yet then what that leads one to believe is that these two nutty guys are going to hold the fate of Ukraine and the world in their hands. I mean, that's a little unsettling too. That's why I'm hopeful that calmer heads have sort of previewed this and laid out the talking points. I would hate to think that it's just up to the whims, the personalities of these two guys to determine what's going to happen to Ukraine and Europe, for that matter.
If it's unsettling to you, imagine how Volodymyr Zelensky feels looking in from the outside on all of this. You know, there was a really interesting moment actually on our air, on News 8 Nation's air live earlier in the day. Robert Sherman has been doing some terrific reporting, by the way, from Ukraine. He's in Kyiv, And he happened to be on the air on the morning show with Marky Martin, and he was on the air, and I saw there was they had a split screen up because they were waiting for Air Force One to take off. It was on the tarmac at Joint Base Andrews, and Robert was on from Kyiv. And just, you know, all the discussion was, well, is Putin serious about peace and all this? And just as they're kind of talking and setting all of that up and looking at the president ready to go to the meeting, the sirens start going off in Kyiv, meaning that a Russian, you know, strike of some sort might be imminent. So Putin and Zelensky's talked about this publicly today already, I believe. He's if anything, he's amping things up ahead of the meeting. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at that. Is that disrespectful to Trump? Is it just a quote-unquote negotiating tactic, which is what Trump called it? And Trump, when he was asked about it on the plane, said, yeah, I think he's trying to negotiate, but I think it hurts his case more than it helps his case. But it was just an interesting kind of juxtaposition of things that you're watching. Here's Trump going in. Everybody say, well, is Putin serious? At the same time, here come the bombs. At that very moment, right before the summit, right up to the 11th hour.
Will the two of them parcel out the land in Ukraine? Will they say, all right, you take that city and he'll take that city? Do you have any sense about that?
I hope not. I mean, Trump did make a comment that said, I'm not here to negotiate for Ukraine. I mean, again, with the low expectations part, what the Trump administration is trying to do here from their point of view is that a win would be another meeting that has Zelensky in the room with Trump, with Putin, maybe some of the European leaders. For Putin, you could say the win has already been put in the book, so to speak, by just getting the meeting and having this legitimacy put back in his column. But, you know, in terms of negotiating land swaps and these things that have been talked about, I mean, you know, I don't think you can start to do that in a serious way. A, without Zelensky and Ukraine, but B, and this is on Trump and Europe, without some sort of a serious security guarantee, as they call it. In other words, if we're going to lay these lines in a different place, we're going to have your back and we're going to help secure Ukraine. And I don't think we've heard that yet. So if Trump wants to have that conversation, it better include that.
Connell, 30 seconds left, but is maybe the best expectation just a negotiated ceasefire here?
Maybe, or at least another meeting, whether there's a ceasefire in the interim, I don't know. One quick thing, John Bolton, I know he's been very critical of Trump, his former national security advisor, was on with me yesterday, and he does not think it's in Ukraine's interest to have a ceasefire right now. I think Russia would take advantage of it. I thought that was interesting.
Connell McShane, boy, you're going to have a good show today, starting at 2. Maybe it gets very interesting at 2:30. Connell, we'll be watching. Thanks for your help.
All right. Thanks, as always, John. Talk to you soon.
The anchor at News Nation. You can watch it everywhere, Comcast, DirecTV, Dish.